This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Kimberly Brummett, and on behalf of the COPS office, I would like to introduce you to David Alfer. David is the Washington representative for Safer World, an independent, international, non-governmental organization working to prevent violent conflict and build safer lives. Safer World runs conflict resolution programs in 18 countries worldwide. These programs work with local people affected by conflict to improve their safety and sense of security, as well as producing wider research and analysis on the root causes of conflict and the most effective ways of addressing it both in practice and in policy to produce lasting peace. Good morning, David. Can you tell us a little bit more about your organization?
Thank you very much for having me, and certainly, Safer World is actually coming into its 25th year of service. We began within the UK. We are now an international organization with offices in 18 different countries, as you mentioned, programmatically, and advocacy and policy offices in three others. So we run programs in the field, we have local staff, we implement and operate programs designed to increase safety and security, designed to prevent violent conflict, but we also have a strong research capability that allows us to take the lessons from those programs beyond the parameters of the programs and to speak to policy with those. So that's our role here in the US, as it is in London with the UK, in Brussels with the EU. We also do a lot of work with China, and that's a brief overview.
In what ways do you work to promote trust in communities?
Trust is built through credibility, reliability, and contact between people. It's a matter of contact, really specifically, being present, having a relationship, not simply an event, not simply an interaction, but being present and over time building the connection with people. They know you, they understand your role, and they see you as someone who is able to create that sense of intimacy, who can be trusted. It is a long process. It takes time. And when you can do it, it's very powerful. It's something that we protect very heavily. We are extraordinarily careful with how we interact, with whom we interact, and we work towards that trust overall. So with community policing in mind, trust is all the more important. It's not easy internationally or domestically, and we're seeing a lot in the news right now in both areas. In many areas, there's a lot of both historical and current mistrust and anger between police services and communities. We know that in areas of violent conflict, in particularly, the police are often negatively implicated. And getting that trust requires a demonstration by parties that they're willing to think not just about themselves, but about the wider good. Ultimately, it also requires, from the community point of view particularly, that the sense is built that the police are of us and from us, not over us. That's critical. International organizations can have a strong role to play in helping to produce the circumstances within which that trust can be built, but that is something that has to come from the communities and the services themselves. The common starting point for building that is we know that if a community is going to experience adequate levels of safety for its present and its future, a police service is imperative. And that's a common starting point that everybody, both the police and the communities, can get on board with and will. It's a necessary point of negotiation. It's not something forced or artificial. That sense of safety is critical. So to build this, we, as Safer World, we provide spaces for ongoing reflection and dialogue between the public and their security providers so that they can jointly identify security concerns and put the resources in play to meet common needs. That is done through dialogue. It's done through good offices. We provide the communication. We help to build the relationships. We help to provide the connections. But it's ultimately the communities themselves that do this. It's the police services themselves that do it. So we encourage all sections of the community to input into the process and to use that to build what probably we'd describe as social capital among the varied participants. That also requires being highly specific in our use of language. And this is something that both as a philosophy and as part of the instrumental work, if you ask for examples, I would tell you about this. We've learned, for example, through experience that the word stability may sound good, but to a community's ears can actually hide all manner of sins. It smells of suppression. It can smell of repression. It can smell of violence. While community safety, on the other hand, is kind of your forward-looking goal that everybody can get on board with. It's hard to argue with community safety. What does that mean? It invites you into conversation. And that's a term that both police services and communities will communicate over. You're hearing me say police services a lot rather than police forces. That's another one. Police services, the nature of that relationship that the term implies is very different than the one implied by police forces. And the caution, of course, is that this kind of language has to reflect real change in organizational philosophy. It can't simply be camouflaged for the same old practices. But when it's real, it's very powerful. And that's a big part of how we build the trust, is by using the language very specifically in order to connote the right ideas.
How do you implement community policing, and how do you help police and communities understand the concepts of community policing?
So, first and foremost, community policing, we look at that as an ethos rather than a thing or an event or a definition of an org chart. It's a way of describing how the police services and communities interact with each other, how they define that relationship, and how they define what the purpose of the relationship is. That's really the primary starting point. So what is community policing? One of the best illustrations I've ever seen of that was from a high-ranking member of the police services of Northern Ireland, who said, "I can't describe to you what community policing means. For that description, you're going to have to talk to my counterpart over here from the community." It's the community's job to define what that relationship is. What does the community need? How do they define insecurity? How do they think of themselves and how they want the police to interact with them? Then it's their job to tell the police services that, and it's the police service's job at that point to listen well and help that to happen. That's a really interesting description of what community policing is. Physically, we could say it means impartiality. Impartiality from government politics, from regime politics. It means impartiality from ethnic or religious affiliation. It means accountability to the communities. It means transparency. It means a respect for human rights and a philosophy of service, not force. The police services are there to be a service to the community in order to produce community safety. They are not there to control or suppress the community. So, getting that definition, now you're hearing the language again, the terminology. We are getting the organizational strategy together that allows the police and the community to work together in new ways to solve problems of insecurity and improve the quality of life for everyone in that community. It sounds very simple. Given the baggage that goes along between those relationships, it's often not. But the philosophy is built on the belief that the solutions to community problems demand allowing the police and the public to examine innovative ways and come to a conclusion on their own of how to address those concerns beyond just a narrow focus on one idea of threat or one idea of security. But the community will have unique ideas about what insecurity means to them, what the sources of problems are, and they have to be empowered to communicate those and to make those the focus of the relationship. How do we implement that? We look at it from both the supply and the demand sides. Rather than taking a top-down approach only, which looks at building institutions, building the judicial system, building well-equipped and trained police forces, and their forces is purposefully used. That term often goes along with the sole top-down model. The solution to that kind of problematic model is not to change direction entirely and say all work has to be done within the community, that it's a bottom-up approach that works, but rather to look at that the two as intimately linked and sharing a common objective, and that it's the interface between them that is most critical. You can build all the institutions you want to, but if the community doesn't trust them and the community isn't willing to work with them, or worse, sees them as a threat, then the institutions will come to no good. if the community work is beautifully done, communities are communicating with each other, they're working together, they're interacting with each other, but there is no institution to help them achieve the goal that needs to be achieved throughout, across the region, so that this is not simply so fine-grained that it can't be duplicated. If there are no institutions there, then all of that work will come to naught. So it's the interface between the two. It's how those two communicate with each other that's really key, and that's where we tend to focus. Communities are very, by and large, they're very receptive to the concept that the people are the police and the police are the public. They want a more responsive, accountable, and approachable police service. This is not something that's alien to anyone worldwide. It's the implementation of it. It's not difficult to convey, although building the trust to talk freely with security providers, it takes time and it takes sustained effort over a long period of time. That language is very important, being very cautious with that, having the international parties who are able to, in many places, we are the only party who is removable from the politics of the situation enough that we can communicate with both sides and we can provide those good offices back and forth. That's critical, but again, can never replace, should never replace, the community as the center focus of this. That's the pivot point around which everything revolves. Changing police practice takes longer. We do also train police, and this is critical. Train them in the principles and approaches. Make sure that this is an ethos that's integrated into the organizational philosophy. Make sure it comes from the top down. How do we implement it is a lot of work on the ground, building those dialogues, holding the dialogues, helping to create the space within which both communities and police services feel comfortable and safe talking with each other in order to build that relationship. That's the kernel of it, and everything grows from there.
How do you promote partnerships in policing?
At all times, that partnership is critical. One of the ways we focus on that is by looking at organization rather than individuals. It is through individuals that a lot of this work begins. You have to identify a strong leader, a trusted leader, someone who is respected. However, if you focus over much on the individuals, sooner or later someone gets transferred, someone dies or is killed if it's a violent kind of a situation. And a great deal of work can be lost overnight. So how do we promote the partnerships? We look at the structures themselves, and we look at helping to communicate how those structures are different. Now, when you talk about police services, for example, usually you're talking about highly hierarchical, very centralized structures. There is command and control. Communities don't look like that. They're very diffuse. They have many leaders. They have no leaders. They're all different. They're very unique kind of structures. And the differences between those often don't translate well to each other. Police will go into a neighborhood looking for the centralized leader and will tend to assume that action stems from order, where from the community side of things, it's a failure to understand that command structure and who do I talk with about what problem. Not to oversimplify, that's one example. There's any number of ways that can work, but helping to translate to a community, here is how you interact with a police service, while helping the police service to understand this is not an equivalent kind of an organization to the one that you come from. You will have to interact with them differently. Building the language, again, it's hard to overstate how important this is, that we help each side understand how they are coming across and where the better language may be to suggest how they might better want to think about interacting with the other side. Making sure that the changes get instituted from the top all the way down to the most fine-grained levels of the police services, making sure that there's that accountability, making sure that there is control and impartiality, especially. So helping to build that, again, with the training, with the work through the organizations and that philosophy, helping to build that is vital.
Great. Where can listeners go for additional information?
Best place to go is Safer World's website, www.saferworld.org.uk. Again, it's a centrally a British organization. We have a great deal of information on the website, both thematically on police reform and how we view that overall, and geographically with examples and research, especially lessons learned and stories from the various different locations we do this programming in on the ground. All of that is present on the website, along with the contact information for all of the various experts we have on hand who can help understand this better and tell you more about it if you're interested.
Great. David, thank you for your time and expertise today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.